Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday. It's October 1st, 2014. Happy October, Pastor, co-host Jason Schiffo.
Happy October.
Pastor, co-host, pastor, friend.
Oh, is it a Pastor Appreciation Month?
Oh, yeah, happy.
Oh, I thought that's why you were saying it.
Oh, no.
I'm still basking in the glory from it being National Coffee Day.
Oh, so, is that you know what?
No, that was the other day. That was Monday. And everywhere you went. So Monday, I didn't even realize it. I kind of laughed. When I saw earlier in the day that it was National Coffee Day, I said, well, isn't that like every – that's a holiday we celebrate every day with gusto at our house. But everywhere I went that day, they had free coffee. I went to Dunkin' Donuts, and I drove through, and unfortunately go to Dunkin' Donuts enough that I have my $2.28 ready to go. And the lady's like, no, no, it's free today because it's National Coffee Day. And I go, Really? It's free? You know, I was like dumbfounded. I go, it's free. And it was really kind of unfortunate because, like, in the flesh, that was on Prospect. I had to go over to Neal Street to do something. And the whole way over to Neal Street, I'm going, you know, there's a Dunkin' Donuts on Neal Street. I get another free cup of coffee. But we went to McDonald's before Bible Study Fellowship, and they had a big sign, free cup of coffee. So I was like, I think I posted on Facebook, I said, this is like a dream where you're driving around, and everywhere you go, there's free coffee. And then you wake up a day later, and you have to pay for it again.
Yeah, it wasn't the Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I had to pay for it today. So, I mean, it was like,
Well, you know what? I saw some posts on Facebook, like the 12 laws of coffee drinking or different. And I was like, wow, there's an intensive
You don't understand
of
any of that. Just admit it right now. It's a moment of repentance.
I'm not even like JV. I'm like not even in the ballpark.
How can you read Hebrews?
Have never had coffee really in my whole life. It's just because it's too hot. It burns my mouth. And I haven't ever tried
that. What about iced coffee?
I haven't tried that. I like the smell, but, and I think I've shared this before, when I would shovel somebody's driveway and, you know, the neighbor would invite me in for hot chocolate, and I'd have to sit there. Do you have ice cubes to make it, like, anything above warm just burns my mouth. So I've never had coffee, and I don't know if I'm better for it or
what
not.
What do you do at dinner? Do you just, like, you wait for it to cool down?
Well, it does, like pizza and stuff, it'll burn my mouth, so it's got to be no more than hot. It's got to be, like, warm.
I don't think I've ever heard the phrase, no more than hot.
Yeah, it's warm is the maximum threshold. But anyways, yeah, so enjoy your coffee today, everyone, and have a sip for me. Hey, I got a good story about Jacob. I don't think you're aware of this. And let me also highlight a couple things that are going on. You might be hearing the radio spot from Monica Sammy. She's, I think, the director overseeing the Disney Cinderella Kids that's going to be at the Virginia Theater. And I think it's utilizing first through third graders to put on this Disney production and singing and sharing and the Cinderella play or however that all works. But it's happening Thursday and Friday night at 7 p.m. And then Saturday there's a 2 p.m. matinee. $7 for adults, $5 for those 12 and under. But taking the family this Saturday, I thought that'd be kind of fun. But
I guess we had to pray for you then.
Yeah.
So. We had a friend take our daughters to the Disney Frozen sing-along. That was like 2 months ago. And our friend came back and she goes, that was just crazy. That was just nuts. And I thought, I'm glad, better you than me.
Yeah, well, I'm getting introduced to all these new things now. So little Esther wanted to go, and it seemed like it'd be a fun little family.
Oh, wait, well, like, would you ask her? Yeah. I mean, seriously, why would you even ask?
Yeah.
The Disney princess, that's all you have to do.
Cinderella. Do you dress them up in little outfits, too, when they go to these things? Does little Molly or Abigail?
When they did the Frozen thing, they did. Uh-huh. They put on their big frilly Disney dresses that they have, and
tiaras and head. Is it 2 weeks or is it this weekend? When do our wives leave for the True Women Conference?
That's next week.
Next weekend. Okay, so we have a little time to figure out what we're going to do.
That's next week. The other night we were on our way to Bible Study Fellowship, and Jacob goes, so Mom's leaving? When's she leaving? I said, well, she's leaving this date, and she'll be back this date. He goes, so what, are we going to, like, eat pizza every night? Like, exactly. You are correct.
This little Jacob of yours, he's a little wheeler dealer. He got some Awana bucks in a very unique way. As you know, I'm in his classroom where, you know, he does the scripture memorization and answers various questions. And he's on my blue team during the competitive activities and the game time. But during the council time when everyone's still together, they said, I need 4 volunteers for this experiment. So his hand goes up really quick. quick, and he was called forward, and these three other little girls were called forward. And so they had everyone taste this Sunkissed Pop and said, how would you rate that tasting? And, you know, one says terrible, one says, you know, so-so, one says good, and then the other category is very good. And Jacob says, very good. And so then she goes, okay, now I'm going to water it down. And so they pour like half Starkist orange drink and water it down. And then usually, because the whole premise was, when we start watering down our testimony and things get worse and the importance of not watering it down, well, it got ruined because the first girl that said it tasted terrible, when it was watered down, she said, oh, it tastes much better now. I'm like, oh, how's she going to work out of that, watering down our testimony? Well,
she's a heretic.
Well, anyways, when it's all done, they each get their own 2 liter of pop for being up there and volunteering. So Jacob has this 2 liter of pop.
Oh, you didn't tell me about
that. And he's really liking it. But, well, the reason why I didn't tell you, wait till I tell you the rest of the story. So then they're encouraged to share it with the rest of the group when we go to our little handbook time. So there's 6 or 7 kids in the class. And so he says it's okay to share. You know, I mean, he's doing great. He shares. And then at the very end, one of the guys, because there's still about half of it left, because they only had those little Dixie cups. And so the one guy goes, hey, would you maybe sell that to me for some Awana bucks? And Jacob starts, you can see his brain thinking, he goes, I want 25. And then a girl says, hey, I will buy it. How many Awana bucks? And he says, 25. Well, 25 Awana bucks? I mean, that's like
25 bucks for 25 Awana dollars for a half drink, liter of pop?
Yeah. I said, Jacob, it's only half. And he goes, if they want it, they got to pay for it. So the girl says, that's just too high. And so next thing, I'm cleaning up and doing some things. And so this one guy goes, I'll offer 15. And so he's negotiating, goes, okay, for 15. So the guy's counting up the Awana bucks. He gets his half 2 liter of the pop, and Jacob's like beaming. He goes, you know, usually you only get one Awana buck for this and this, and if you bring your Bible and you have your vest on and or your shirt or vest on and your handbook, and then you get one Awana buck when you memorize a verse. And I think he had memorized one or two, and so he got 2 or 3 Awana bucks he had earned. But then he got this huge windfall, and so I just thought that was pretty creative that he sold it. So anyways, that guy's going to be a future businessman or something. So I think he's going to be like, because of his sharp mind, you know, we always talk about the little theologian, but he did some good wheeling and dealing too. So that guy shows great promise. Anyways, that was a lot of fun. That Awana group, as many people know, they're learning God's word, and to see the children flourish and get to examine the meanings behind these verses and so forth. And Esther finally got her little, what's the cubbies with the red vest? She memorized John 3:16. Little Esther has a great memory, and she just cranked it off. And so she came home that night, Sunday night, and they gave her her new handbook and a CD with music and the storytelling, and she wanted to do that for the next 2 hours. I'm thinking, all right, I'm hoping this next week she surprises everyone with like 4 scripture memory verses and dazzles everyone.
Well,
so
Abigail came home with her vest too, and I mean, they get that vest on and they're like,
oh, puffed up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it made a marked difference in her life, because the week before she came home kind of sad because she didn't get the vest yet, but she has to memorize John 3:16 and so forth. And so this week we worked on it at the dinner table a couple nights, and she cranks it out. And so she was a happy camper. Mm. So anyways, but it was fun. Little Jacob, he's a smart little kid. Oh, and a quick shout out for Stephen and Carrie Murphy. They celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary this past Saturday at Hessel Park. It was great to be out with them, and they've been supporters and faithful attenders to so many of our radio events, including trips to Israel and Singing Men concerts. Stephen sings with the Singing Men of GNN, and they're going to be on our trip to Israel coming up. And let me look at the calendar. Is it 36 days and counting? Still have room for a few of you if you're interested in knowing more. I know some of you farmers are going to have that harvest in, and you might say, hey, you've worked hard the last few months with all the planning, the harvesting. You deserve this. Let me talk to you about
you
joining us.
It.
Yeah, that's it. Who else deserves it more than you? So come join us. If you need more information, call the station, 217-367-7777. Hey, I got a little snapshot into the life life of Pastor Jason Schiffo. Had the privilege and opportunity to deliver messages past Sunday. And I know how typically you have prep time up to 20, 30 plus hours of studying God's Word, cross-referencing it.
Depending on the message. I mean, you know, some are less, some are more. And always the first message in a series is a lot of time because you're trying to background and get your hands on what the big theme is and how many messages might a book of the Bible be. And 30 hours is a lot. I wouldn't say that 30 hours. I probably top out at 20. Two on a hard week, 11 or 12 now. I put some things in place which have really made it better, more helpful to me, allowed me to maximize my time better. So I never want to be disingenuous, say 30 hours. They'd be like, oh my gosh. And I've had some people come up and they go, oh, that was a lot of time for not a lot of message.
Yeah. Where's the meat?
Yeah. You know,
no.
Really overcooked that one, I think.
Well, I've had about a month notice to prepare, and it's just interesting how God will work through that preparation time and the delivery of the message and thinking it through. And I think it's been recorded, so we'll see as I hear it. Maybe I'll play it. Maybe that'll take up a couple days' programs, because initially I thought I had about 20 or 30 minutes, and by the time I got up, and I was sharing with you before this program that they had a listening pastoral prayer, and it's like, oh, am I supposed to give that too? Well, anyways, by the time I started with my introductory remarks, it was only like 11:10, and I'm thinking, I have like 40 minutes to deliver this message. And, you know, hey, I could fill up time. In fact, I was already, when I had my outline in front of me, I think I had six or so pages, I was already cutting, okay, I won't give the background on my faith journey. I'll just start with the radio ministry. And so I had the luxury of sharing. And then when I saw I had like 15 minutes left, I knew I had three different God-honoring stories about the radio ministry, and so I thought, oh, 5 minutes for each of those, that's easy. And I told everyone, we will be done at noon, and I think exactly at 12. I mean, I had my phone up there, so I was watching that, very conscientious of the fact that, you know, noon is when generally their services are over,
yeah.
So hit that, but appreciated the prep time. I can't even tell you how many times, you know, the first 3 weeks, it's like, Lord, I don't know what passage I should use, how I should deliver this message, and where you would lead me as far as an outline. Once you get the outline, I think everything else kind of falls into place or begins to fall into place, but it was hard to get the outline. I didn't have that for the first 3 weeks, and then once I narrowed down to these two passages, then it was like, okay, Lord, I can certainly share from
that's
there.
Why, I'll be honest, that's the reason that I preach the way that I preach. Now, I wouldn't say that I'm an expert. I don't even know where I kind of fall on the spectrum of what I do. But that's the reason I preach expositionally, because then you always have to start with the passage. You always have to start with the verse, and then what you're doing is simply walking people through the verse. So the material is already there, and the material is, see, I'm always very, and I do sometimes some topical sermons, but topical sermons always end up being expositional because the topic comes straight from a piece of scripture. But I'm always kind of fearful when we are topical only, because then we're starting with our own kind of human premise versus God's Word. And God's Word's what we're supposed to be lifting up. We're supposed to be glorifying God, magnifying God through His Word for the joy of His people who are going to be hearing. And so, for me, it's walking through the passages and helping people to understand and building for them, too, a context of what's happening. And I think that's so important, because some people are like, whoa, you got to be kidding me. Right now, we're currently walking through the book of Haggai. And what's fascinating for people, you know, and I had the first week, people come up to me and they're like, wow, we never realized this. You know, Haggai is about the return of the Jewish people after the Babylonian exile. And so Cyrus has released the Jewish people to return back to Israel, to return back to their homeland. And he's even actually taken an offering in and amongst his people. Isaiah 45, you can read about that. Taken an offering from the people there, the Persian people, to allow the Israelites to return and rebuild the temple.
Now, is Nehemiah, is this during his time?
That's what I'm going to tell you. So, 50,000... roughly 50,000 Jews decide, you know what, we've lived in Persia, it's home now, so we're just going to stay, and about 50,000 to 70,000 return to Israel. The 50,000 that remain in Persia, that's the book of Esther. The 50,000 that return to Jerusalem and begin the work on the city, that formulates the book of Ezra, who talks about the rebuilding of the people, Nehemiah, who talks about the rebuilding of the city walls in the city, and Zechariah and Haggai, who talk about the rebuilding of the temple. So in the midst of this story, you've got five major prophetic voices speaking, five major things that God is doing in redemptive history. And in fact, at the very tail end of Haggai is when you have the last prophetic utterances coming from Malachi, and then you have silence before God speaks incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. And so it's just this amazing, and so expositionally, as you're walking through that and you're painting people this contextual picture of what's happening biblically, all of a sudden people are like, wait a second, I mean, God wasn't just doing something in the life of this one person. He was doing something in the lives of many people and doing it in different ways. One of the things that I told people, I said, this book of Haggai is just blowing me away because there's like hundreds of sermons in here. But even just the sermon on the context piece of it, because you've got Esther, you've got Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, and Zechariah. Zechariah is a very young man. Haggai is a very old man. Esther, obviously, is Queen Esther, a woman.
And what's interesting is you're also mentioning some of this is happening in Israel, and yet other is happening in Babylon or wherever.
Well, Persia.
Was Persia.
Yeah, now it's Persia. You have Nehemiah, who was probably a middle-aged man, you know, servant to the king before he comes back to rebuild the walls. You've got all these different people from all different spectrums used in unique ways in terms of their gifting and that. So when I look at all those prophetic voices at work at one time, it just says to me that God uses all kinds of people in all kinds of ways at one time for his glory. And so stop trying to be somebody else, because be who God made you to be. He didn't ask Nehemiah to be Haggai or Haggai to be Nehemiah or any of them to be Esther. He asked them to be who they were. And he had a specific mission. I love that Nehemiah builds the walls. I love that Esther rebuilds the people. I love that Haggai and Zechariah take to the rebuilding of the temple. And so God uses them uniquely. And what's God really building? I mean, that's why I love the book of Haggai. What's God really building? He's building the temple. And he says in verse chapter 2 and verse 9, he says that there might be experienced a greater peace through this house. And that peace we know on this side of the cross is Jesus Christ. That temple was going to be built. Malachi was going to have these last words, 500 or 600 years of silence, and then Jesus was going to come on the scene. And in 33 years after that, roughly, he was going to tear the veil in that temple, in that house, and the Jews were going to experience a nearness and closeness to God that they had not ever previously known. And so it just, for me, I think that...
And then we learn a lot about that in the book of Acts, which if you tune in on Friday, you can hear us walking through the unique work that God is doing through the disciples and through the church that is being birthed in Antioch and parts of the world now as Paul is going all around. So that's on Fridays. Mark and Friends with co-host Pastor Jason Schiff will join us.
So all that to say is that I think that we got to be very careful not to start with our own flawed... Look, I've given topical sermons that have fallen flat because I've taken my good idea and then said, well, what does God say about my idea? Instead of saying, you know what? What does God's word say about me and about my life and about my community and about his greater plan? And how does that apply to the life-changing work that he's doing in and through me, through his son Jesus and through his Holy Spirit? And so I think that we've got to start with God's word. I think that we've got to. So I think that that's where we've fallen into this biblical illiteracy that we have. We've fallen into this we have more information now than we've ever had about the Bible, about all kinds of things. And yet we have the greatest breadth of biblical illiteracy that we've ever experienced as a nation and even as a world. And so we've got to teach the Bible. And I love that you had the opportunity to do it, and I just want to challenge. It was actually, we were at our Bible study fellowship group, and we do like a discussion group time where a bunch of guys sitting around in a circle, and we're just discussing the lesson, but we're also talking. And there was like one guy who said, you know, I really feel like the Lord is impressing me to, we were talking about Moses, and he said, I really feel like the Lord is impressing me to teach in some Sunday school capacity. You know, but boy, I look at Moses, and I can really understand when Moses says, you know, I'm not eloquent, I'm not these things, I'm not that. And listen, you don't have to be eloquent. God's word is entirely eloquent. You don't have to be of perfect speech, because God's word is of perfect speech, and God's spirit will empower you to do those things. Every single one of us is called to be a proclaimer of God's word. That's not a job that's just for me on Sunday morning. That's a job for every single one of us. Now, some of us have been called in that capacity to teach and lead at a greater level. And that greater level is just maybe because God has gifted us in certain ways. That doesn't mean that we're better or greater than other people. But every single one of us has been called to herald and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And for some of us who go, yeah, but I don't know how I can do that. That's why he gave us his word. You open it up and just read it. And just begin to talk about it. Pick a verse and open it up. And that's why I think that expositional teaching is so important, because you open it up and you begin to read it and let God's Holy Spirit begin to show you and reveal to you some things. Do some studying along with it. But just begin to share it with people, because God's Word has a power
In and of itself.
In and of itself, yeah. that you and I don't have.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I read God's Word sometimes and I just want to cry, you know, because it says it does something to me that it shouldn't be able to do. I don't read anything. I'm not reading the magazine that comes in my mailbox, you know, on whatever it comes, and start crying, oh my gosh. I don't cry. I read all kinds of books and they don't make me weep. I read the Bible and sometimes I can't not weep.
Yeah. Well, and we know there's power in the name of Jesus. Even just saying and proclaiming the name of Jesus has an effect not only on us, but on many people. There's power in his name and declaring his word. And I like the point that you were making on how all these different prophets had different callings, and yet all were influencers, and kind of the action point or the takeaway.
Look, one Sunday of preaching, now you're like, and the action point is.
let me share my 3-point outline here. But how you said each of them were individual, and that's how God has uniquely called all of us to operate in our gifts, in our uniqueness, and to share from our heart with sincerity, but with the study of God's Word, with the participation of the Holy Spirit, asking him to reveal truth and to guide us and to orchestrate those divine appointments, and then he gets glorified.
I shared this on Sunday morning as I was teaching through Haggai. I hope that people took it the right way, but we'll see. But I said at the tail end of my sermon, I said, look, we don't need another Billy Graham. We don't need another John Calvin. We don't need another Martin Luther. And for right now, I know some people are going, wait a second, we actually do. We're headed in the wrong direction. And boy, a Billy Graham would help. We don't need another Billy Graham. We don't need another Martin Luther. We don't need another John Calvin. We don't need another John MacArthur. We don't need another all those people. You know what we do need is we do need what made those men, what we loved about them, what made us want to walk near them, and what gave them great success in what they did. And that was that they were faithful. That was that they were faithful to God's Word, God's Spirit, and God's plan. And we need you in your unique giftings, in your unique calling, to be faithful to what God has called you to do. We don't need you to be like somebody else. There was a time for Billy Graham, and that time has come to fruition. Now God is looking for the next faithful man or woman who's going to stand up in that place of prominence, the place that God's already marked out in victory, to begin to proclaim the gospel in the way that Billy Graham did, because out of faithfulness, not the way that Billy Graham did, like Billy Graham, but the way that Billy Graham did because he leaned into God and God's strength and his faithfulness.
And all of us have those circles of influence, whether sure. It's the stay-at-home mom pouring into the kids, taking care of the neighbor, reaching out to the missionary, to those that are in the workforce, that are managing with integrity, with honesty, with biblical principles, to the student that isn't cheating on the tests or following along with some of the choices maybe the other kids are making. All of us have a role to model Christ, to follow him, to be obedient, to worship in a God-honoring assembly each and every week, being in his word daily, and hearing his voice. So, great news, radio listener. Thanks for tuning in today. Hopefully you'll be blessed by something that was shared and said. You'll draw closer to God as a result of connecting with him, of asking him to lead you this very day, and he delights in responding to our very prayers. So talk to him today. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. Join me. No one join me. Still I will follow. Still I will follow. No one join me. No one join me. Still